Happy Sunday, everybody. Usually we use a speech from a church or a conversation or something faith-focused, but today we are going to air my incredible conversation with the great one, Mark Levin, and also Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka, that we had. It's an incredible conversation. We talk about, should Joe Biden be impeached? Should we give them the benefit of good intentions? How should we view the Chinese coronavirus? What should we do about voter integrity? And so much more. Dennis Prager, Mark Levin, Dr. Gorka, at a Salem Radio Network event. It's amazing. If you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. Of this all-star panel, you guys can support us. Byron from Allen, Texas. Thank you. Grace from Anaheim, California. Thank you. Allie from LeGrand, Kentucky. Thank you so much. charliekirk.com/support. Kim from Granite Bay, Alabama. Thank you. Allison from Coal City, Illinois. Thank you. Eric from Hawaii for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Sharon from Hawaii as well. A lot of Hawaiian supporters. Also, Shirlene from Denver, charliekirk.com/support to get behind the work we are doing. Thank you so much for doing that. And God bless you for supporting us. charliekirk.com/support. All-star panel. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Let's get things kicked off with some talk about Afghanistan. It has been 20 years yesterday. The anniversary of 9/11, which is a moment, a day in history that I think changed all of our lives and set us on maybe even a different trajectory in life. And it was difficult to look back on 20 years, and certainly it made it even more difficult with the way that we were led out of Afghanistan over the last month by the Biden administration. Our first question is for Mark Levin. And Seb, we'd like you, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, to be our one-minute responder. Mark, what is our greatest national security threat today?
Joe Biden. And I'm not kidding. And I am not kidding. The people he has surrounded himself with are a disaster. He's got a Secretary of Defense that helped create the ISIS caliphate. He's got a Secretary of State who comes out of the Ivy League schools, really doesn't know a damn thing. Same with his national security advisor. So when you look among those people, it's absolutely a disaster. The idea that we have American citizens in enemy territory, the idea that we would leave Afghan patriots who fought with us in enemy territory, the idea that 20 years after 9/11, the Taliban would be stronger and bigger and control the entire country of Afghanistan, with the backing of Al-Qaeda and China and Russia. Iran sees this. North Korea sees this. All of our enemies see this. We are in dire, dire straits as a result of Joe Biden. 20 years of progress on national security. Men and women giving their lives. Men and women giving up their careers. On 9/11, young men and women stopped everything they were doing and joined the United States military, an all-volunteer military. And I feel horrible for them. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I despise this president. I actually despise him. I actually despise him more than Obama, which I thought was impossible. But it's not him. I think Obama despises this president, as a matter of fact. That's my 2 minutes.
Thank you. Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
I would never, ever dare to disagree with the great one. But following Sleepy Creepy Joe Biden, very close in second place is the establishment GOP. Let's Let's be very, very clear about this. Since January the 6th, they have tried to criminalize being a conservative. And I mean criminalize it. With grandmothers in solitary in federal prison for trespass for 6 months. What did the GOP do about it? Absolutely nothing. Why is it that I, a radio show host, have to go on national radio to talk about my buddies, retired military, who are flying planes out of Afghanistan with American citizens on board, as this State Department, Biden's State Department, Tony Blinken's State Department, is preventing those planes from taking off? And what is the establishment Republican Party doing about it? Absolutely nothing. The left will be the left. They hate America. We get it. We understand it. We have to crush them in the next election. But we have to take back our nation from fake conservatives.
There you go. There you go.
Thank you.
And that starts right here in California.
Yes, it does. All right. So as we continue this conversation on Afghanistan, clearly, I'm with Seb. The Democrats have a huge problem, though. On September 11th, we know what happened 20 years ago. What we forgot about is what happened to Benghazi, Dennis Prager. Hillary Clinton gets on and blames January 6th as the biggest threat, forgetting she was in charge of Benghazi. What does this mean to what we're doing in the Middle East with Democrats that seem to forget what's important today, Dennis?
Well, there are so many issues here, and I know that I have a two-minute time limit, so quickly. The first issue for me is, and I know at least half of you don't agree with me on this, and I respect that fact, but you don't listen to me because I say what you want to hear, but what you want me to say that I believe. I was opposed to leaving Afghanistan for 20 years. I was opposed when we left. I find the argument that we were there 20 years to be the classic non sequitur. I don't understand what being there 20 years has to do with the necessity of leaving. America did not lose that war until it left last month. That the United States announced that the Taliban has won is a catastrophe for humanity, catastrophe for America, catastrophe for NATO, what is ever left of it, and a catastrophe for the Middle East. There is nothing good about having left Afghanistan. We did not lose one soldier, one person in the military in Afghanistan in a year and a half. Our price was, when you analyze it, minimal. Every death is a tragedy, but you still have to put it in some perspective, like COVID deaths. If we only put that in perspective, we would not have a country that has no liberty anymore. So it was a catastrophe mistake, and it was done in a way to hurt America. So I thought Mark Levin's answer that the greatest security threat is Joe Biden is largely true, but there is a worse truth. It is irrelevant which Democrat is president. They are all the same, and they all ruin America.
You have a one-minute follow-up to that.
I agree with him. I've been arguing on Fox and elsewhere. We lost more people leaving Afghanistan than we were in Afghanistan. We lost 13 soldiers. Turns out we killed 9 Americans when they were trying to show that they were going to hit the enemy who hit us. Well, they didn't hit the enemy who hit us. And I think what they've done to the United States military is a disgrace. I don't disagree that any Democrat in office is a disaster. But this guy is a big, big, big disaster. And it's not enough for me to be amorphous about it or ambiguous about it. Joe Biden won't resign. The Republicans need to raise impeachment. They're not going to get it done. I don't care. We got to change the national narrative on this issue. If you're not going to be impeached for this, if you're not going to be impeached for the other things he's done, like defy the Supreme Court and that border's still open and he knows that he's violating federal law, then what do you impeach a president for? A phone call to Ukraine?
Thank you, Mark. All right, our next question is for Charlie Kirk. We had rescue flights turned around. We had the New York Times report today that the drone meant for ISIS-K may have taken out aid workers and innocent civilians instead. We left our security to the Taliban. We lost 13 lives from our armed services in this country. On the right, I've heard a lot of people with our talking points talking about how this was a bungled withdrawal from Afghanistan. Charlie, was this a bungling or was this intentional?
No, it was totally intentional. And one of the mistakes that we engage in far too often is we give the benefit of good intentions to our enemy. And I would expand just on Joe Biden. It is the left. It is half the country that, I wouldn't even say it's half the country. It's the people that purport to control half the country, that control the major institutions of the New York Times, Harvard, the tech companies, and the major corporations that have this belief that regardless of what we say to them or regardless of, you know, how we approach them, they think, as Dennis would has been saying for the last 10 years I've been listening to him, that they think we're bad. We think they're wrong. We have to stop giving them the benefit of good intentions. These people want to destroy the country. Stop negotiating infrastructure packages with a party that wants to imprison you and suffocate your liberties and freedoms. Look, we intentionally armed the Taliban. We gave them $85 billion of weapons. This was probably done in some sort of triangular deal with the Chinese. We may never know. The people I talk to in the Department of Defense, people I talk to in the intelligence agencies say that you should not blame any of this on incompetency. Yeah, maybe randomly drone striking some guy that works at a local gas station in rural Afghanistan. That was Joe Biden trying to improve his poll numbers, you know, with just like, oh yeah, just go take out that guy with a drone strike. That might have been incompetency. But make no mistake, it's not all of a sudden the lack of intelligence where you say, you know what, let's not destroy the weapons before we pull out of a country. I mean, a 14-year-old who plays Call of Duty on, you know, on Saturdays and Sundays knows that at least you destroy the weapons before you withdraw from a country. No, this was malevolence. And the Democrats and Joe Biden and this regime, they know exactly what they are doing, which is arm our enemies. And they're waging the true war here. Their real war is the war against the unvaccinated, the war against Christians, the war against conservatives, which is strengthening the security state. And I agree with you, Seb. So many establishment Republicans think that this is the 1980s. And, you know, as someone who's 27 years old, I could tell you that country's not coming back anytime soon. It's done. It's over. I want to stop hearing this garbage. You know, we have more we agree than we disagree with. Oh, really? Who are you talking about exactly? The people that now say that we shouldn't be able to go to restaurants because I don't take an experimental vaccine? The people that now say that we are going to restrict, if you have 100 employees or more, we're going to bring OSHA in and tell you how to run your business? No, there's only one way this ends. Either we win or we lose. And you know what? We're going to beat them and we're going to win.
There you go.
Dennis,
you'll get the 1 minute, Dennis. 1 minute follow up.
Oh, I'm so enjoying it here. It's I'm perfectly happy to listen. I just have to tell you. I got so enthralled.
Now you know what we feel like when we listen to your show.
Oh, exactly. Thank you. That's very sweet. Well, thank you.
We love you guys.
We love you, and that's the truth. I no longer say, I'm glad you raised that, Charlie. I no longer say they think we're bad, we think they're wrong. I have begun calling the left evil. And they are evil. I do, however, make a distinction, which I stand by, between a leftist and a liberal. Leftists are evil. Liberals are weak. Liberals are naive. It's a sin for an adult to be naive, but they're not evil. They vote for evil. It has caused me to understand a lot of things The liberal acceptance of leftism when they're not a leftist. Just one example. Ask any liberal relative of yours or friend. Do you think it is a good thing to have an all-black dormitory on a college campus? I was raised as a Jewish liberal, which is almost redundant. And I went to Columbia, which adds to my credentials as a Jewish liberal. And it was emblazed in us that integration is the only racial decency, that segregation is pure evil. Yeah. If it is, the left is pure evil.
Yes.
The left want separate everything. I went to Columbia. Columbia had 7 graduation exercises last year. 1 for blacks. They had a black education. You know who liked that? 2 groups. Columbia and the left and the Ku Klux Klan. Yeah. They have more in common than we do with them.
So we're going to move on to the next topic, which is COVID. I love we got radio guys up here that don't know what 2 minutes or 1 minute is.
You said 2 hours.
Is that more than a minute? Was that more than a minute? Is that the implication of that?
No, Dennis, you can speak as long as you want. You know that.
No, I wouldn't.
Look, speaking of separating people, the left is now doing this with the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. They're making a separate class of people. They want to punish us. Dr. G, I want to ask you, I've said COVID was a hoax on the healthy. I certainly believe it is certainly real, and I believe it's devastating. But is it about the safety of us? Is it about dividing us? Is it about control? In your mind, what is COVID all about?
I don't think there's a univalent. There's no one answer. But just if I may respond to Dennis, he's right. We have to understand there's a difference between willful evil and the naive who facilitate the evil. But from a practical point of view, in terms of saving the Republic, it makes no difference. If you vote for Biden, you're responsible for 13 servicemen dead. I'm sorry. You are responsible for the southern border, for the rapes, for the drugs. You are responsible. So in terms of what difference it makes to us, it's nugatory. COVID is a result of many things. Number one, risk aversion. We have created a risk-averse society. The idea that you bring COVID deaths to zero is asinine and can only happen in a dictatorship, number one. Number two, we have a class of experts, and I'd love to write a book on this, and maybe you and I should do this, Dennis. Anybody who is called an expert in America is the opposite of an expert. Look at the last 50 years. Look at what Fauci did in the 80s on HIV. Just look it up. This guy was saying the same garbage about AIDS 40 years ago that he's saying about COVID now, that you can catch it from surfaces. And just, I mean, this class, whether it's the Iraq war, the invasions of the last 20 years, there are no, if somebody says they're an expert, do the opposite of what they say. Seriously, the opposite. And then lastly, it is totalitarianism.
I thought you were an expert on national security.
You go back 20 years of my career, I have said, don't you dare call me an expert or an academic.
He's right.
That is an insult.
He's right.
Okay?
He's right.
I resent those remarks. And at the end of the day, it really, we are tending the saddest thing as somebody who chose this nation. I wasn't blessed by being born here. Those who are born here, God, you are so blessed. So I chose this country. And I got in line and I did it legally. I took an exam. I did my paperwork. Okay?
And
to see what we have done in the last year and a half breaks my heart. There should have been no business owner who shut his company. None! None!
Thank you.
And Dennis was right. Dennis was right almost 2 years ago. This is the biggest mistake Western civilization has collectively made to shut our societies down. And I'll end on this. I want non-compliance. If it was good enough for Martin Luther King, it's good enough for any shade of American.
Amen. Amen. Charlie, do you want to follow up? What do you think the left's goal is with the China virus?
Yeah, the Fauci virus is something that we... and stop calling it COVID. You could choose China virus or Fauci virus, one of the two. Enough COVID, okay? No, this... it's really interesting in 1 minute or 2 minutes. Is that? It's kind of like a pastor's 2 minutes, right? So it's like 25 minutes. Look, it's really goes to this idea of science without morality. And when you make science the ideal and you don't really know what you're using science for, then you're going to do all sorts of goofy and nature pushing experiments halfway around the world because you think that you can re-engineer human beings. That is a belief that came out of Johns Hopkins back in the 1870s. It's this belief of German historicism that human beings are not made in a natural order or a natural law. But if we look through a microscope and if we get enough smart people in a room, we can re-engineer you. That's how you get these sociopaths that run the CDC and NIH that quite honestly are incredibly dangerous given the amount of power they have. And they believe it's their life mission not just to control you. That's part of it. It's to re-engineer you. It's that human beings are not made in a certain way. It's they say, oh yeah, try and stop me. It says, I'm going to change human behavior. We're going to change human DNA. That's the whole idea of how this entire virus came. And they say, oh yeah, we have to trust science. Yeah, well, without science, we wouldn't have this virus. Meaning that the way that science has been operating in the Western world is not science to be able to protect human equality as we know it or natural liberty or God-ordained liberty. No, it's to try to have mass social control and to try to make you comply. And let me just say one thing about the vaccine. I'm not getting the vaccine and there's nothing you can say that will make me get the vaccine. And if you chose to get the vaccine, I'm not like a vaccine shamer. I don't do that. Everyone makes their own decisions. And Mark, you had a great segment on that where they try to call you an anti-vaxxer, even though you took the vaccine. The point is this, though. We all know what's really going on here is that they are now circling the unvaccinated, of which I am a member of, and they are going to use every single form of corporate power, ridicule, mockery, governmental power to try and have a trial run for what's really coming next. This is the front lines of the most important issue in our time. Are we going to allow unelected, unknown and unchecked bureaucrats in the fourth branch of government to be able to come in direct concert with the top 100 companies and go after people's deeply held medical decisions? Or are we actually going to push back against it? This is the question of our time. And quite honestly, it's a lot of Republicans have been playing ball for this for far too long. And so we all have to agree. No one should be forced to get vaccinated against their will in this country.
Thank you, Charlie. I was driving home the other day and I was listening to you tell a story about Vanity Fair, try to get you to comment, almost like the media is celebrating people who die from COVID if they are Republicans. And I'd love to have you speak on that and also tell us from your perspective, constitutionally, is there going to be a pushback? I mean, the mandates that were announced by Biden last week, certainly is trying to use OSHA to implement this. What do you think constitutionally real people can do to push back?
That 1 minute, or do I get two?
You get 2 minutes.
I think you should just take 10 like the rest of them.
Salty.
All right. I am vaccinated. So why do I care if he's vaccinated or not? I don't understand this science. I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV. If I'm vaccinated, I'm supposed to be protected from anybody who's not, correct? And what does unvaccinated mean? Isn't that a strange term? People walk, oh, you're unvaccinated. Most people start out unvaccinated. It's a funny thing. And the other thing is, some people have natural immunity. So what percentage of the 30% they keep citing have natural immunity? They don't tell us. I've been on the CDC site. I can't find it. If 70% have gotten one shot and 30% have gotten no shot, then what percentage of the 37 of the 30%, Math was not my big subject. What percentage of the 30% have natural immunity, which is better than a vaccine? So Charlie, the others are exactly say. Massive power grab starts in places like California, New York, these Democrat power centers. God knows the health care consequences of everything they've done. People who didn't know they had cancer or heart disease, people who got strokes, people who could have had routine procedures who are not with us any longer. I'd love to see all those statistics, but we don't. Fauci has been in the same job for almost 40 years. If you're a bureaucrat and you've been in the same job for 40 years, you're a damn good bureaucrat. But you're not a damn good scientist, I can tell you that. And the idea that the man who goes on television and tells us, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, wear a burqa, don't wear a burqa, whatever it is, the idea that that guy at his agency funded some of this crap and that he's not held to account and we're supposed to take what he says as some kind of authority, get it. What authority you ask your doctor? That's where you get authority. Now, as for the law, I'll ask you folks. Don't worry, I get all out enough. If the Supreme Court is serious, these are the facts it's going to have. This is an emergency that requires emergency powers. Okay? Except for illegal aliens. Except for any business that has under 100 employees, and except for other people we don't know about. Now, how is that an emergency if it doesn't apply to everybody? That's number one. Number two, OSHA has no authority whatsoever to control the health care of every citizen in this United States anymore than the CDC run private property or gun control. This is what these gentlemen mean when they're talking about this is power grab like we have never seen before. There's separation of powers being violated here. Congress hasn't given any authority to the President of the United States. He's using these fringe agencies to push social agendas. This must be fought. You know what this is? Dennis, slight disagreement with your brother and some of the others here. This is American Marxism. That's exactly what it is.
By the way, how fantastic was American Marxism? Did you pick up Marx's book? Pretty good.
I couldn't hear.
I said your book was fantastic, and it was.
Thank you. I'm writing another one called Iacocca. No, just kidding.
When I listen to these guys, this is why my mask, Seb, you'll like this, says come and take it. Come and take it.
All right, our next category is the Biden presidency. It's only been 9 months. The midterms are just about a year away. So what does that mean for the GOP? We'll start with Dr. Sebastian Gorka. The approval ratings are down. We've got COVID still going. Crime is on the rise. Inflation, Afghanistan, you name it. The list goes on and on. It seems like it should be easy for the GOP. But what do they need to do to win next year?
I'll share with you. I've said it on my show. What I told the leadership of the GOP the week after the election. I was very blunt. I said, if you ever want to have any relevance as a political party in this republic ever again, there are two issues you have to show seriousness on in the next 12 months. Big tech censorship of conservatives and election fraud. Everything else is irrelevant. I don't care what your pet issue is, the right to life, the Second Amendment. It doesn't matter what your pet rock is. If we don't stop the fascistic censorship of Americans on social media and stop wide-scale election fraud, we will become a one-party state. Not because of a revolution, but because they have 80 million mail-in ballots. It's that simple. Now, here's the sad thing. I have seen nothing. I have seen nothing on an institutional level. Right now, there are a handful of people, Rudy Giuliani, who they're trying to destroy, Bernie Kerik, Jenna Ellis, Rona Romney McDaniel should have been fired the day after the election. Gone from politics forever. So this is the state of the GOP. What's going to happen in the next election? They're going to try and steal it again. They're going to try and steal it again on Tuesday here in California. It's very easy. The unions will be ballot harvesting for Nancy Pelosi's nephew. Let's be clear. So here's the bright fact. Any politician who has acted in the last 8 months, like my old boss, President Trump, who has been pro-America, pro-MAGA, has been a massive success, and they have won. I saw the president recently in New York. Before I saw him, I said 95% chance he's running. After I saw him, 99.9% chance. He will declare imminently. At one of his rallies, imminently he will declare. But we need him back. But if the GOP doesn't clean up the election systems in the four battleground states, we will lose again.
So on this note, why it's so important to win, we had someone on the program, a neurologist, that reviewed over 40 hours of Joe Biden and came to the conclusion that he has mid to mild stage dementia. That's Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. He said, I've never been able to make a diagnosis like this because I get to watch so much video of this man from being a young man to an old man. He snaps at people as if he's mad between Jell-O or his pudding, and he yells at people. Dennis, I'd like to ask you, who is calling the shots? Who's in control of this country? Who's behind this in the White House?
It should be directed at my wife. She has far more formed opinions on this than I do. I don't think anybody is directing him because, I repeat, it is irrelevant which Democrat, which leftist is in power. It is completely irrelevant. If they switched every member of Congress with the exact same number of left-wing Democrats, nothing would change. If AOC left and TLJ took her place, TLJ would be just as bad. You must understand, it is not a matter of an individual. Leftism is poison. It ruins everything it touches. It destroys everything it touches. That is all you must understand. The number of Americans who understand that, including Republicans, is not large. That is why people always ask about the individual. I'll tell you, there are many, many dangerous, foolish statements adults make. One is people are basically good. The stupidest idea a human being can hold, if you hold it, I know I'm offending you, and I'm not even sorry. You hold a dangerous, unchristian, unjewish, unintelligent idea if you think people are basically good. That is what the left believes, and that is why we don't make good people. Okay? Read the Bible. It's a good book. And it's pretty clear, if you follow the human heart, you end up with evil. Okay, there's another stupid statement Americans make. That's number one. Equal. I vote for the person, not the party. I can't believe that. There are no good people on the left. Do you understand that? And here's another one. And here, I don't know if we differ. And it's rare that Seb and I differ. We agree on virtually everything. I would vote for any Republican over any Democrat on any day of the week.
Yes. I'm with you on that one.
Thank you, Dennis. This question is from Mark Levin and Charlie Kirk. I'm going to have you do a follow-up on this one. Today on Fox News, there was an interview with Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer. And he suggested that term limits are something that he would consider instead of a lifetime appointment. What is your thought on that, Mark?
Who did that interview, by the way?
I'm sorry?
Who did that interview?
It was Chris Wallace, I think, wasn't it?
Chris Wallace?
Big fans of Chris in the room.
You know,
tonight.
We have a rule over at Fox. You're not allowed to say anything nasty about sons of bitches you work with.
That is the quote of the day.
And I do my damnedest to adhere to that.
That's why he's the great one.
I believe in term limits. Mm-hmm. The very first book I wrote, Men in Black, supported term limits. Now that's...
Don't hold the button.
Hold the middle. I never hold the middle. That said, following up on what Dennis said, I wouldn't touch a damn thing until we're in power. That's number one. Because they will do whatever they have to do. They've already announced what they want to do. Now, there are Republicans I won't vote for. Depends on local and state level. There are some who are actually more solid than some of the Republicans I've dealt with in my life. I'm just being honest. It depends. For instance, you can go to Western Pennsylvania, which I've done many, many times, and those Democrats are much more conservative than most Republicans in the bedroom community where I was raised. But as a general, I think that's right. I do. On the other hand, I also think of, here's part of the problem. If you believe, as I do, that the Republican Party is stuck, that their leadership is stuck, that they have no idea what's swirling around, that they cut a bipartisan infrastructure deal with the enemy. They're the enemy. They're not opponents. They're not adversaries. They're the enemy. We got to start taking our language back and using plain English. That said, how am I supposed to vote for somebody who keeps cutting deals with the enemy? We have young Turks out there who are solid as can be, who just need a chance, who are being blocked because of a system in Washington, D.C., where they reward each other. Every now and then you have to punish one of those guys in order to make room. Now, how do I know that? Because in 1976, I was a Reagan guy. And I just heard at the Reagan Library the other day, Chris Christie, the Reagan Library, which I love, Ronald Reagan, who I love, Ronald Reagan, who I worked for, campaigned for. They're bringing now through a conga line of rhinos. They're going to bring Ben Sasse in next year and so forth and so on. If we don't stand up to Republicans like that, we can never win. We can't win anything. So that's why Reagan was so important, taking on Ford and so forth. This is why Trump is so important, taking on the Republican establishment. So I have a little bit of a disagreement on that. Now, if you're telling, and the other thing is, in terms of liberals, I look at it a little differently. I see their leaders and I see their followers. Not so much categories of nomenclatures and so forth. The leaders of the Democrat Party are evil, evil, evil people. They will tell you they're evil people. They want to destroy the court system, separation of powers. They keep attacking the constitutional system. The border's wide open. It's wide open for a reason. They're dragging this country into bankruptcy. And then you have people out there who are just lifelong Democrats who don't get it, or people out there who are reprobates, or people out there who are disconnected from society. And so these Democrat leaders give them answers. The fault is America. The fault is white dominant society. The fault is everything but them and their ideology. So I do think we need to make some distinctions about this. Anyway, what was the question?
Term limits on the Supreme Court.
Well, if the court is doing what it's supposed to do, it's really not that complicated, because you don't use a regulation from the Labor Department through OSHA to control 80 million human beings in this country. Clearly, that's not the legislative history. OSHA was set up in 1971, for God's sake. And one other thing, Supreme Court's not always right. Supreme Court's been wrong a lot. The Supreme Court upheld slavery. The Supreme Court upheld segregation. The Supreme Court upheld Korematsu, the internment of Japanese Americans. The Supreme Court, and they used the first case the Supreme Court Jacobson issued, I think it was 1905 off the top of something like that, they issued where they said, yes, it's the reasonableness test. You have to balance in order to compel people to have a vaccine. 20 years later, that same Supreme Court said that the government, state and federal government, had the authority under the prior case, Jacobson, to sterilize what they called idiot women. The Supreme Court upheld the sterilization of women against their will, 60,000 of them. So the Supreme Court
is not God, and the Supreme Court doesn't hand down the Ten Commandments every time it issues an opinion.
Thank you, Mark Charlie.
Charlie, I'm curious to what Mark hit.
I just, very quickly, I want to add something to that Supreme Court decision. On that Supreme Court, one of the justices was Louis D. Brandeis, after whom Brandeis University is named. I think Brandeis was a great man, but he did an evil thing in voting for the sterilization of quote-unquote idiot women. Will Brandeis University drop its name? Of course not. They're phonies on every issue. On every issue, they're liars. They won't drop the name Brandeis. They won't drop the great tycoon Stanford. They won't drop Yale. They won't drop Columbia. They drop Columbus Day. Why don't they drop Columbia? Columbia is named after Columbus. But they won't, because there's too much money invested in the name Columbia University. There is nothing they say that is true. The left lies like you breathe.
So, what one thing that's a common theme among all of us on stage is we despise a ruling class of career politicians. That goes for Republicans or Democrats. Charlie, to what Mark was saying about Republicans who we can't even trust, I would urge all of you. I know you go to your local meetings and your Republican congressman comes in and they tell you they're fighting and they tell you they're going to do everything for you. Don't go take selfies with them. Don't go shake their hand and say thank you when they're doing a horrible job on behalf of you. You hold them accountable. So, Charlie, in many respects, you're doing that with Turning Point USA, in many respects with universities as well. But your thoughts about this ruling class we face that Mark was talking about, and really all of us do.
Yeah, I mean, the current regime is not just obviously one party. And Victor Davis Hanson has a phenomenal new book coming out called The Dying Citizen, where he makes the argument that we have now entered, for the first time in American history, basically this idea that the citizen is dying and we are now subjects, slaves, serfs, whatever you want to call it. And there really is, we're living under multiple simultaneous issues. The one that we spend most of our time trying to focus on disrupting, challenging, and quite honestly crushing is the credentialocracy that comes out of college campuses. I could make an argument that the two most powerful institutions in America outside of Google and outside of the federal government is New York Times and Harvard. And there's almost no difference between the two of them. It's the communication arm to the population and also the place where people can get the stamp of approval to say whatever they want to say, whenever they want to say it, to try and institute some form of vast social reform. And so there's a lot of ways we can unpack it. I suppose the most helpful for everyone here is a couple things. We as conservatives have a lot more power than I think we even give ourselves credit for. And one of the things that we should pride ourselves on is that we want to be peacemakers and we want to be kind to the other side. We're in a cold war right now. And Dennis has called it a civil war for quite some time here. And if you are not actively sacrificing something or losing something, you are watching this from afar as a spectator and you're not currently in the arena. You know, it's not just enough to watch Life, Liberty, Levin and buy a pillow and think that's it, right? Which I love. Instead, when people come up to me at events, they say, Charlie, you know, I love everything you're doing out there. How's it going out there? So what am I, like a running back for the Los Angeles Rams or something? Like, who are your local school board members? Who are your local city council members? How many young people are you mentoring? You know, I had a woman come up to me. This might sound really harsh, but I don't care. We don't have a lot of time left for our country and at this event, but for our country. And this woman comes up to me in Tennessee and she's bawling, crying. She's like, I cry for my country. I say, like, what's the matter with you? Who are your school board members? Well, I don't know. I don't have kids. I said, well, then what does that have to do about anything, by the way? Like, why wouldn't you show up and contest your city council or the school board who's affecting other people's children? She said, well, I could do that. I said, this is why we are losing. We have prioritized other things for so long other than grassroots engagement and, quite honestly, getting in their face. It's going to sound like Maxine Waters, but in some ways, I'm going to say this, though. No, this is an important thing, though. Maxine Waters knew exactly what she was doing. Maxine Waters knew that if she deployed infantry, shock troops into the streets, it changes our behavior. You better believe it does. We're less likely to speak out, wear a MAGA hat, have a bumper sticker because we know that someone around the corner might be coming up in their face and barking at us. And, you know, some conservatives are like, we don't do that. Yeah, we used to not do that. You think we're going to get the country back? Keep on just kind of watching cable television and hoping our way to it? No. I'm telling you right now, we have to take bold and dramatic and aggressive action to take back our country.
I want to draw a line under what Charlie just said. Recently in Virginia, my wife and I were asked to speak at an event, not a GOP event, a conservative event, at the Trump Golf Course. Beautiful place, great crowd. I arrive, lovely lady comes up to me in a ball gown and says, "Hey, Dr. G, big fan, can I take a selfie?" I say, "Sure." And I said to her what I say to everyone who wants a photograph, "And don't forget to tag me when you post it." Suddenly her face changed. And she said, I can't put that on social media. I mean, it's so Democrat here in Virginia, and my husband is self-employed, and that's when you realize you don't deserve America. I'm sorry. If you're not prepared to put your name to your values publicly, you're not a patriot. Our civilization. I wrote a piece that came out yesterday for 9/11 at American Greatness. And it was, for me, the two lessons of 9/11. Very simple. Very simple. Number one, that evil is real and it walks the earth and it must be destroyed because man is fallen. We must fight evil every single day. But the flip side of that is that 9/11 is our civilization encapsulated in 102 minutes. Why? Because men and one female NYPD officer ran up the stairs, and did what Christ told us is the ultimate form of love, to die for your fellow man. So, what Charlie said is the metric. If you're not feeling this war on your personal skin, you ain't fighting.
Just, you know, what did I say when we came out? We talked about being bold. Jim Valvano said, every day, ordinary people do extraordinary things. Imagine if every single one of you, just on one day, did something extraordinary to push this cause forward. Just every single one of you. We could change this nation overnight, but it takes bold leaders to risk something. Sometimes it's hard. You got to risk it because it's your children, your grandkids. It's our future that's at stake.
Amen.
One of the things that we can do is we can show up in power. We can show up to volunteer for campaigns, and we can make sure that we vote. And in this state, we can help other people vote. It is perfectly legal to ballot harvest. It's perfectly legal to drive people to the polls. And on Tuesday, California has a recall election.
I want to add one very easy thing that will take no risk on your part, is for you to patronize the sponsors of talk radio.
Absolutely.
This is, I just want you to understand, when I have guests, conservative guests from Europe on my show, I always end by saying, we have something you don't have in Europe, and it makes all the difference in the world. And they say, what is that? And I say, talk radio. And every single one has said that is exactly right, because all radio in Europe is state-owned. And we have the ability to have our local stations like here and Salem and others do. So nobody asked me to say this. I don't get paid to say this, but it is true. When you patronize a sponsor on talk radio or honor any of those who are sponsoring today, you make the greatest weapon against the left possible.
Well said. Thank you, Dennis. We move on now. We're talking about the recall, and the recall election is on Tuesday. How many have voted already? How many of you have a plan to vote on Tuesday? Well, let's talk about the recall panelists. We'll start with Charlie Kirk and a follow-up from Mark Levin on this one. I don't know if you heard, but there was a story that came out yesterday for a moment that people went to turn out in Woodland Hills, California to cast their ballots. And when they arrived, they were told that they had already voted. All of these people were registered Republicans. Now, we're trying to spread that story around. But the question for you, Charlie, is how do we handle the issue of voter fraud since we are being pushed by executive action of the governor into an all mail-in election?
Yeah, I'll start briefly on the California recall. First, I just want to say all of you deserve such credit, and I want to encourage all of you. You didn't have to do this. You didn't have to go collect signatures and contribute to Larry's campaign. You didn't have to go get your friends to get involved. You very easily could have sat idly by and basically do what they do in Connecticut as Republicans, which is go to the country club and talk about lower corporate tax rates and then kind of just shrug your shoulders when you lose by 30 points. It's like, no, California's like, you know what? There's a remnant of conservatives here, and we're going to fight for every single inch, and you deserve a lot of credit for that. And I could tell you that just the fact that this recall has contributed to the national political narrative, you have given grassroots activists in Michigan and in Georgia and all across the country hope and a reason for them to get more involved. Because it shows that even when this regime is doing what they are doing, that in the most liberal place where the vice president is from, the speaker of the house is from, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee is from, Fang Fang's boyfriend is from, where all these people are from, that you can also still play offense. Look, Dr. Gorka knows way more about this than I ever will. It's a pretty simple thing. You don't win a war by retreating and playing defense. You win a war by playing offense. And what you did this Tuesday is so profound, and it's so unexpected because it has made this ruling class spend nine figures and weeks and months that they otherwise would have liked to do otherwise with vacationing or trying to oppress you to defend this illegitimate regime. Okay, I just want to say that and encourage all of you because no matter what happens Tuesday, it's a big deal. But let me say one thing about voter fraud. Republicans, and I'm just going to say this more broadly, if Republicans want to actually become a legitimate opposition party, they have to take election integrity seriously. This state is going to take years to untangle this state. But when those things happen, for example, in Camino Hills or whatever, is that where you said it was?
Camino High School in Woodland Hills.
Camino High School. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a lawsuit filed immediately. I mean, they have infrastructure ready for these things at any time. And the judge might throw it out. Of course it might happen. But the point being is we have to engage in lawfare in this sense. And the other thing is this, is that we have to be willing to use political power to reform our elections in states where we have majorities. I live in Arizona, and I can tell you right now, Arizona's right on the brink of becoming a New Mexico or a Colorado, largely because of all of your former neighbors that have moved to Scottsdale and decided to screw up another state after messing up this one. But in Arizona, there's this battle of Republicans that are saying, well, we don't need to reform our elections. We need to move the Overton window on this. We need to say, you know what? No more voting month. There's voting day. You need voter ID to even get a ballot. We need to say no more mail-in, no excuse mail-in ballot. So this idea that we're going to accept the current regime with mail-in balloting, no. We need to move the entire discussion in that. It is the number one issue in America is fixing our elections, and if Republicans won't say it, get them out of office.
So, Mark, your thoughts? It seems that if we talk about voter fraud, we're called conspiracy theorists. What do we do to fix the problem?
I disagree with everything he said. No, you're exactly right. And to combine a number of things you all have said, I'm going to give you a perfect example. After the November election, you could see what was going on around the country. I'm not talking about machines. I'm not even talking about ballots. You look at the state of Pennsylvania. That was utterly unconstitutional what took place in Pennsylvania. The Supreme Court of I know something about this. The Supreme Court of Pennsylvania changed the election law every bit as much as the Florida Supreme Court did.
And my wife, sitting right there, said, I'm out of here. I said, where the hell are you going? Well, she went to law school in Pennsylvania. She said, I'm going to Pennsylvania, and we're going to fight this. And she went up there. They had no money. They were up against these law firms and everything else. And the arguments were simple. Two cases. And the Supreme Court wanted to take up both, but they couldn't get enough justices to do it. Thomas wanted to take it up. Alito wanted to take it up. Gorsuch wanted to take two of them. One was, a state cannot change election laws in violation of what the state legislature has done under our federal constitution. The state Supreme Court, which has seven members elected, five of them public sector union thugs, changed the law, extended the voting, allowed ballots that weren't supposed to be allowed, took the signature requirements off, did all those things across Pennsylvania that the legislature wouldn't do. And the Supreme Court wouldn't take it up. That is outrageous. The other thing that happened is the state legislature violated the state and federal constitution. Pennsylvania, it's not easy to amend a constitution. It's not California, you know. Every week you change the constitution around here. There, it is a battle. Remember, it's the second oldest state. And so there's three things you have to do to amend the constitution, only one of which was done. And so that was challenged. And you had a brave Commonwealth judge, trial-level judge, who issued an injunction to stop the counting that she helped file, issued an injunction to stop the counting. The Supreme Court of Pennsylvania did what the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania has never done. Before it was right, they reached down, took the case from her, voted the case is settled, over. It was appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they... Sorry, Phil. It was reported to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they said, we're Helen Keller. So they wouldn't look at it. Those are two serious, serious, significant cases, and the system was broken. And so when Paul Ryan the other day said, who barely speaks anymore, he said, get away from all this corruption and everything, I said, Mr. Ryan, come on my radio show. Let's have a discussion about Pennsylvania, and let's actually see what the hell you know and what the hell you don't know. Because here's the deal. We had to listen to 2018 Russia conspiracy crap for 3 years, which was a lie. And they don't even want to talk about Pennsylvania. That has nothing to do with voting machines or anything else. So now the situation is this. We're not allowed to talk about election fraud. But they can concoct it all they want. Be strong. Stand up to it. They're exactly right. Again, I don't need to hawk my book. I really don't. There's plenty of sales. Look at the last chapter. I got a whole bunch of things you can do, sitting in, even in front of your computer, to help save this country. The enemy thinks 24/7. They wake up, how to destroy this country. They go to sleep trying to figure out how to destroy this country. All we ask is for 10 minutes. That's all. 10 minutes.
Go ahead, Sam.
Okay, so let me just add something to this. God bless that woman. And not just for marrying him, but it shouldn't be Julie's job. So let's be clear here. The president, or in the president's name in the GOP, have raised hundreds of millions of dollars since the election for voter integrity. Where is it? Where is it? So here's your homework, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday is important. But you should be asking the GOP, you should be asking 45office.com, where's the money? What did you do with the hundreds of millions of dollars raised to investigate the election? And one more thing. Just do that. Just for me. Just do that. One more thing. Will you do something for one of the bravest men in America? Who destroyed five mafia families and brought New York back from 9/11. They are trying right now, as we speak, to destroy Rudy Giuliani.
They're not just stripping him of his law licenses. They're trying to bankrupt him personally with frivolous, and imprison him with frivolous lawsuits. Go to RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com today. RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com and support America's mayor.
Amen.
Amen. So as we talk about the recall election, the mainstream media is setting up that we, all of us on stage here, are setting this up in California as it's going to be the big lie. And I want to give all of you a tribute, because they use my clips on CNN all the time from Newsmax. But today, they used my clip from 870 AM saying that the mail-in ballot scheme is almost, we're unable to overcome what they will do to cheat. And they said, this is the big lie. Now, that's a tribute to you using a local radio station that all of these gentlemen are on, and Jen, that they're now watching and listening at a local level. How important is that? Dennis, you've been here in California. I really am concerned that we cannot overcome the mail-in ballot scheme that I believe to be at play here in California. Can we?
I don't know. No one in the room knows. So whenever I'm asked any question analogous to that, I'd like to tell you my answer. I'm asked, can we do this? Will we do this? Dennis, are you optimistic? Dennis, is there hope? So I want you to understand, I'm speaking very personally, I am guided by only one question, and it is not, do I think it will work? Or am I hopeful? Or am I optimistic? Am I pessimistic? I am guided by only one question. What am I supposed to do? There is no other question that guides my life. What do I have to do? And I answer it on secular and religious grounds. My secular grounds were answered for me in a visit to Normandy Beach many years ago, when I saw thousands of graves, mostly of American kids about 21 years of age. Not one of them died asking themselves, am I optimistic about what will happen on Normandy Beach when I confront the Nazi machine guns? They all asked themselves only one question: what do I have to do? That is the only question that anybody should ask. That is the question I believe theologically. God tells me what to do. My favorite verse in the Bible, I'm a religious person, many of you are, not all, and I respect that. But my favorite verse in the Bible is probably not your favorite, but it is mine. Those of you who love God must hate evil. It is a commandment. It is not a suggestion. It is not a prediction. The Hebrew has a command form, which English does not have. And I know biblical Hebrew very well. Ohave Adonai, those of you who love God, sin ura, you must hate evil. So God told me what I should do with my life. Fight for good and fight against evil. I don't know if it'll work. Nobody knows if it'll work. Did they know if it would work storming Normandy Beach? But you do it anyway. That's the question that you should all be asking. What do I have to do? And if this is going to remain the best, last best hope on earth, you have to fight. And you have to be a model to your children and grandchildren, and especially grandchildren, because a lot of your children are screwed up because they went to college. And you're laughing, but you're crying while you're laughing, because for so many of you, it's true, and it's about your child. When I meet parents, you know what I always ask them? And people are not offended by my asking. I say, how many kids do you have? So, 3, 4, okay? How many share your values? And the typical answer is, some do. Almost never do all, and often none do. Okay. All right. You are both a good parent and lucky. There is a lot of luck in life, my friends, and that is one of the arenas that there is. Some great parents have crappy children. Some crappy parents have great children. Just to show you, life is not fair. But that you have to be a model of fighting to your grandchildren, even if your children it's too late with. And this country and liberty are worth fighting for. That's my response.
Breaking format a little bit, but I'm going to ask Dennis a question, then I've got a question for each of you panelists, and then we'll go to our speed round. But what you may not know is the reason that we have Larry Elder in the race for governor is that Dennis Prager was one of the people who really put the screws to him. No, but really convinced him to do it and do it now and to try to make a difference. And it did shake up the race. Dennis, why was it important for you to advise Larry in this direction?
I get more credit than I deserve on this one, I must admit. I sent Larry a few texts. I get credit for bringing Larry to radio. There I get 100% credit, and that I deserve. that I fully admit. I believe everybody has gifts and everybody has areas they're not gifted. So I think in musical terms, because of my love of music, some people are gifted with perfect pitch. I'm not. But I have perfect pitch almost in people. That's why, believe it or not, I'm one of the only people I know who has never been hurt by a friend, which is an amazingly wonderful record in my life and a great source of my happiness. I really can tell who's good and who's bad pretty quickly. I met Larry Elder for a half hour in Cleveland while I was substituting on the most popular TV show in Cleveland in the morning. I hated the whole week. I woke up at 3 a.m. Pacific time every day. That's when I normally go to bed, Pacific time. Anyway, I did the show. It was a godsend that I was asked to even sit in for the vacationing host. One of their guests once a week was this lawyer, a local lawyer named Larry Elder. In a half hour, I came back. I was then on ABC Radio. I came back to ABC. I said, I met a great man. He must have a show. They tried him out. They had him as a guest on my show. And he finally, in fact, got his show. It's a long story. He's now on Salem. He has a great national audience. He is a very special human being. What he has is the rarest of all the good traits. And I knew this in Cleveland in a half hour. He has courage. Goodness has no chance.
Thank you.
Goodness has no chance without courage. That's why I've been proud to be so credited with Larry's running.
Thank you, Dennis. The recall, Seb, they say, is being driven by mad moms and masks and Latinos. That's who is driving the recall. It's kind of unexpected, but certainly Latinos are finding their way to the conservative movement. Donald Trump saw a huge spike in turnout from Latinos. Why do you think that is? And what does the Republican Party need to do to lose the stereotype that somehow this is the party of old white men?
Yes, Seb.
Seb.
Yeah. I think, you know, I have a guest on my show now and again from the Heritage Foundation called Mike Gonzalez, who escaped Cuba as a child. And he says, why do we talk about Latino Americans or Black Americans or white Americans? He refuses to fill in the box Hispanic on a government form. He refuses. So it's not why did my old boss get more, 13 million more minority votes than 4 years prior to that, after 4 years of incessantly being called a white supremacist and a Nazi. The question is, why did he get more votes at all? That's the question. When you are called a white supremacist, Nazi, Islamophobe bigot for 4 years, how do you get any more votes? Why? And this is what we miss. And I love being the guy with the funny accent who has to remind my fellow Americans what happened in 2016. Let's just put 2016 into historic context. There is a connective tissue between every president
from George Washington or Obama. There is a similarity between every single one of them, whatever party they came from. Every president since the Republic was founded until Donald Trump was a politician or a retired general. Every single one was a member of the swamp. Everyone. Congressman, senator, governor, or retired general. For the first time in the history of the Republic, and this is why Mike Flynn is absolutely right, 2016 was a peaceful revolution. For the first time, we sent a message as Americans of all skin colors, of all ethnic backgrounds. Enough with the career politicians. So, and this is why people are saying, oh, what if Trump doesn't run? Who's he going to pick? Oh, it's going to be DeSantis. It's not, the age of picking a politician is gone. It's gone. You have to be somebody who isn't owned by the elite. Why did they have to destroy my boss? It's very easy. They have to destroy him because nobody owns him. Not the unions, not big tech, not the oil industry, not pharma, nobody. And that's why he was so dangerous. So, you know, my answer to all of this is don't think of them as Hispanics. Don't think of them as black. Think of them as Americans who've had enough
We want to go to our rapid fire round real quick, but I want to get Mark a quick answer and Charlie a quick answer on what Seb was saying. Career politicians are horrible for America, but we have career bureaucrats as well that have made their work inside government so devastating to this nation. And even President Trump, who tried to root them out, could not do it fully. Mark, why don't you start first and then Charlie after, real quick, if you can. The problem, Mark, with the career bureaucrats that we have as employees are calling the shots in government.
And by the way, there have been career politicians and career politicians. I think Lincoln served one time in the now he was pretty good. there's a few others, Reagan, you know, but they weren't part of the system. They were politicians fighting the system, and they were rejected by the system, including Reagan, including Lincoln, including our greatest presidents, quite frankly. So you're right. Now, that said, the bureaucracy, I've felt all along, there's, if you're going to get into the weeds with the bureaucracy, you're going to be devoured. Mm-hmm. So you need to slash across the board. And I don't care how they do it. In other words, 10% across the board, 25% across the board, fine. But at this point, nobody's going to do that. We have a $3.5 trillion bill that's really a $5 trillion bill that they're about to vote on. And the Republicans, have no idea what's swirling around them. No idea whatsoever. They don't have a message for the American people. The Democrats are out there. They march one behind the other. Sorry, Phil. We have people who can't even speak. They don't have a coordinated message. They don't explain what this bill is going to do to our country. I am of the belief that if we at least, we may have a fighting chance, we at least communicate with the American people what they're doing. You know, they lie about what they're doing. They steal the language and turn it inside out. We keep talking about $3.5 trillion. People have no idea. There's amnesty for almost 20 million illegal aliens in that bill. They're going to nationalize the election system in the bill so the Democrats can never win and there's never going to be a red state again. And I can go down the whole list. Have you ever heard them say anything? They don't. So there's no effective pushback. So as for the bureaucracy is the Democrat Party. They work together. That's who they are. That's why the Democrats jack up their protection, expand the Leviathan, because they work hand in hand. And that's why a president like Trump is in there, and they try to destroy him. So it took 100 years to get here. It may take 100 years to get back. But as I think all of us have been saying here, it's daunting, but you have to fight it. And, you know, I want to thank you because I didn't know that what I've been arguing for all these years, too, is biblical. There's so many people I hate. And now I can say, thank you, God. And I disagree with Dennis when he says, I get the same callers. Mark, what can we do? I always say, what can we do? What are you doing? That's number one. And number two, fight them. Fight them. Fight them. I'm not in the prediction business. Just fight them. That's it.
Charlie, why don't you take...
Yeah, there's really only one last... There's only one last reserve to save the country, and that's the states, which is why a pet project of mine is calling out governors and attorney generals by name to try to directly confront the federal government in ways that are unprecedented, that will cause a constitutional crisis intentionally. I'll give you an example. The day that Joe Biden issued the OSHA order or the CDC order, the governor of North Dakota and South Dakota, Oklahoma and Texas, Louisiana, he's a Democrat, should have said, okay, you're all of a sudden going to act as if we're in a post-constitutional state. We're building the Keystone XL pipeline. We're sending the workers back tomorrow. Go send the troops and try to go. Let's look at the optics of federal agents coming in and arresting a bunch of middle class hard hat wearing guys going to work on a pipeline. Come on, go try and arrest them. We need to provoke them to actually, they will blink, everybody. They will blink. And beyond that, if you look at these federal agencies, these federal agencies have been invited into these states, and these red governors, like the governor of North Dakota, should say the EPA needs to close their office by the end of the month. They're no longer welcome in the state of North Dakota. Now, that's dramatic stuff. That is dramatic. That is unprecedented. But what are we talking about here? Are we willing to really go to the threshold? And by the way, it's unprecedented for us, not when you're the mayor of Portland. They say, we're not going to enforce federal immigration law. We're going to have sanctuary cities. Like, okay, fine. You have sanctuary cities. We have sanctuary states. We're going to make our own laws. Federal agents aren't allowed in the state of North Dakota or South Dakota. Now, some people don't like saying this. They're like, well, Charlie, that's going to cause a crisis. Well, what do you think we're living through? Yeah. But here's the thing. They will blink because they know that we have more power than we've never recognized or realized. And these are weak, paranoid, and fragile people.
Thank you, guys.
So what do you think? Lightning round?
Yeah. How many of you have been to town hall before? Well, we're bringing back the ever popular speed round. Now, this is challenging for our panelists.
Oh, boy. Speed round with these guys.
Let's pretend we're on Twitter, except much less. So these are one word. Maybe I'm not going to come after you if you give me two or three, but like a few word answers here. Are we ready, guys? We'll start with you, Dennis. I know they sound ready, don't they? Bernie Sanders. Thank you. He says that reconciliation and infrastructure bills are in danger. Do you trust Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema to hold? It's a yes or no.
Yes. Dennis.
Dennis.
Are we to trust that they will hold?
Yeah.
Oh, uh-huh. Boy.
Yes or no, Dennis? Yes, it is yes or no. I am resolutely in favor of yes or no. That's my answer.
Spoken like a politician.
I am not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, for those of you who know your Bible.
All right, so I say we just, with the same questions, we'll just go down the line since we're going to get one or 20-word answers.
Right.
No, a Democrat can always be bought.
They're going to be bought. Charlie?
For now, it looks like Sinema will hold because she's very afraid of what's happening in Arizona.
Mark?
No.
No.
All right.
I'm with Mark. All right, next question. Dennis, does the GOP win back the House and Senate in 2022?
Yes. If the last 8 months are an indication, absolutely.
If we stop the cheating and purge the Republican Party of moderates.
I defer to Charlie because he's right.
Fair enough. All right, to mix things up, Mark, we will start with you and work our way back down. Does Gavin Newsom get recalled on Tuesday?
What was the question?
Does Gavin Newsom get recalled?
One way or another, that SOB is going to be recalled. It just depends by whom. Say Elder, because I believe.
All right.
Yes, but it just might not be reflected in how they count the votes.
What he said. Yes, I think that's exactly what I was going to say.
It's that new Common Core math.
I'm up. What Charlie said, too, here. Mark, do you believe the proposed vaccine mandates will hold?
No.
No, and if they do, we better be ready to fight.
I don't think so because of a couple of tweets I saw today that are on my Twitter feed of hospital workers who are refusing to comply. I'm sorry to think more than a word. If there is a worthy cause of a civil war, this is one. Otherwise, we become Australia, which is at this moment a totalitarian state.
You know, on Seb's point, we've got Los Angeles Police Department, Los Angeles Fire Department. You've got tons of guys and gals that are really pushing back that are now really facing the prospect of losing their job if they do not get this vaccine. So help them out. And there's a lot of organizations you can to help those guys out.
All right, two more questions in our lightning round. This one came from our pre-show. If you saw it, Grant and I did a pre-show out in the hallway, and we said, what would you like us to ask the panelists? And one of the questions was, where's John Durham? Do we get a report? So let's start with you, Mark. Do we ever get that Durham report? Is he hanging out with Hunter Biden?
Are we going to get the Durham? Who's Durham?
John Durham. Exactly.
I know, I'm just kidding. Who cares at this point? Honest to God, I don't know. What's his report even going to say? My attitude is, let's gear up. Let's take care of business in the next election. And whatever this guy comes out with anyway, you can tell it's going to be watered down because it's taken so long. We already know the answers. The whole thing was a lie. Now we need a prosecutor to tell us 5 years later.
Charlie? A Republican attorney general somewhere in America needs to indict Tony Fauci for what he's done to our country and Hunter Biden.
Wait a minute. That wasn't the question.
No, but I'm going to connect the two. As soon as that happens, all of a sudden, they're going to want a detente and they'll back down. They will only start to play ball under the procedures that we think with reports and commissions. It's all a bunch of nonsense. Until they're afraid they're going to go to jail.
Sad?
I'm not sure John Durham exists.
I know.
I'm not either.
Just a word on the 2 years of the massive lie about Russian collusion with the Trump campaign. They spent 4 years saying that Donald Trump is a consummate pathological liar. If you look at the Washington Post listing of his 2,500 lies, you will see they begin with such enormous lies as he exaggerated the number of people at his inauguration. That was one of their top lies of the Trump administration. Donald Trump has been one of the most honest presidents this country has ever had. And his opponents are pathological liars. And they begin with the New York Times and the Washington Post and CNN, which had a 2-year collusion lie. And when it is dropped, nothing is said about it any longer. And it was asked on this panel about the lying on COVID. Why would anybody who has had COVID have to take a vaccination? Why isn't that a lie that you have to take the vaccination? Do you know the lies about ivermectin as a horse dewormer? This is a gigantic lie. The man who discovered ivermectin for humans got a Nobel Prize in medicine. Did you know that? Because it is made for humans. A lot of our medicines are used for animals. We give our antidepressants to our dog.
No, Otto?
No. Otto, how do you think he stays quiet the entire fireside chat?
And I've seen him to pray.
Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody.
I just want to know, how can Dennis Prager's dog be depressed? I'd like to be Dennis Prager's
dog. He's not depressed anymore.
I will admit that.
Cigars alone. Yes.
Only the greatest radio host can take it from John Durham to ivermectin.
All right, that's the name of my next book.
All right, one more question is, we're awaiting a special guest, so I'll ask you one more lightning round question, yes or no, just because this should be somewhat fun. Hunter Biden.
No.
Does he? No. Well, wait a second, Mark, wait a second. We'll start with Mark. Does he mess up again?
Mess up again?
And again, and again.
Is the Pope a nominal Catholic?
First of all, he's a chip Nominal. Off the old block, isn't he?
Yes.
Hunter Biden, does he mess up again? I mean, wow, that's a tough one. Let me think about that.
So I anyway, stumped the great one.
Let me tell you about Dennis's dog while we're at it. I understand he's not depressed anymore. Of course he's a screw-up.
Charlie?
Yeah, of course, but and again, we should criminally indict him, but we won't.
When you're a whoring drug addict getting $500,000 for a painting, yes, you're going to screw up again.
Yes, oh, everybody's right, but it doesn't matter because the New York Times won't cover it.
All right, last question for you all. Will President Trump run in 2024? Dennis, start with you.
What was the question?
Well, will President Trump run in 2024?
Oh, ask Sebastian.
Oh, come on, Dennis.
Because if you ask me, I would call Sebastian for the right answer.
All right,
Sebastian,
son.
Will President Trump run again?
What do you think, guys?
And you are correct.
He'll probably run, but we can't forget what's happening still in these states, and this current regime is illegitimate.
Phil, I did it again. Yes, I think he'll run, but on what Charlie said, we got to tighten up these election laws as fast as possible. And what they need to do is they need to have 1,000 litigation lawyers ready the way the Democrats did in every single state and get in front of this rather than playing defense all the time.
So with that said, thank you for the shirts, too.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. What a great way to end. I love getting gifts on the end of a great show like this. Mark Levin, thank you so much. Charlie Kirk, thank you. Dr. Sebastian Gorka. And of course, Dennis Prager. Thank you, guys.
Big round of applause.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, you can do so at tpusa.com. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.